Hey, Hobart, what'd you say? Oh, you want to open the show? Oh, okay. Go ahead. Oh, you have a joke? Oh, an Australian joke. Oh, okay. Okay, great. Okay. All right, I'll translate for everybody who doesn't happen to speak marsupial. Okay. Kangaroo walks into a bar and orders a beer. Okay, all right. And the bartender slides him a brew and says, that'll be $10. And the kangaroo says, oh, I got it wrong. Okay. Kangaroo walks into a bar, orders a beer. The bartender slides him a brew. Is that right? And as the kangaroo is drinking the beer, the bartender says, you know, we don't get many kangaroos in here. And the kangaroo says, at these prices, you're not going to get very many more. Okay. All right. That's you like that one, obviously. Okay. All right, great. Oh, you have another one? Okay. A wallaby walks into a bar. Oh, what? Oh. A wallaby, a platypus, and a koala walk into a bar. Is this a religious joke? Yeah, we're not doing that. Hi, this is Paul Dini, and it's just me tonight. Hobart's here, actually. He's brushing up on his stand-up comedy skills. He needs a lot of work on that. And, of course, Ezra and Emily are here, and
hey.
Deuce and Muggsy are here, and Misty and her niece Calla are off working up a new magic trick, and Rashi volunteered to do the sawing for them, so he's running around downtown Hollywood with a big bandsaw that he's looking for volunteers on the street. Actually, he's not asking for volunteers. He's just selecting them at random, I think. And I got Misty sent me some video of that. It doesn't look promising. Looks like we may have to pay some people off this week. And other than that, it's just, I'm here, puppy. Oh, Super Rica, you're here. See, I thought you were on a date. See, you had a date with Mr. Moore, our new intern, Melody D'Amour, right?
See?
Well, what happened? How come you're still here?
She said she had to wash her hair tonight.
Oh, she had to wash her hair?
See? So she canceled the date at the last minute. And she had to go and pick up some shampoo. And this dude came by in a car and picked her up.
A dude in a car?
See?
Was it like a big, young, handsome-looking dude?
I didn't get a good look.
Super Rica, about Miss D'Amour, I, for one thing, I don't think she's the best choice we could have made for an intern.
But she types 4 words a minute.
Well, that's impressive if you're a mollusk, I guess, and I'm not convinced that she's not. But I think that she may be stringing you along, son. We'll have to look for another intern, and you may want to, look for another potential girlfriend.
Can I sit here and do the podcast?
Sure, have a seat. So, I guess Super Rica is joining us, and that's a big bouquet of flowers.
See?
You bought her flowers?
See, and chocolates.
Boy's got it bad. Well, how about you put the flowers in some water and come on back, and we'll talk about some other stuff.
See?
Maybe the night I have that talk with him, the father-son talk about... you know, what kind of girls he should and shouldn't be going out with.
Yeah, that's not somebody you take home to mom.
No, it's somewhere, it's someone you kind of, I don't know where you take her. I don't know where he got her.
He'd take her to the derby.
The derby, like the roller derby?
Yeah.
She looks like she'd be at the roller derby. Actually, she looks like she would be kind of walking around with a sign between boxing matches or wrestling matches, like a Miss Wrestling type.
That sort of thing. She pulled the sign upside down, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, it only works if it's 66 or 99. Yeah, she can be right one of those two times. Super Rica, where did you meet Miss D'Amour anyway?
At Go-Go Vavoom.
Go-Go Vavoom? What is that?
Well, I was walking down Santa Monica Boulevard, and I saw this sign all lit up that says Go-Go Vavoom.
Yeah?
I thought it was an amusement park. I thought it was a thrill ride.
Well, you're partially right, I guess. And you went inside and she was working there and you, the two of you just hit it off, huh?
See.
Okay. Well, all right. I think maybe I'll let Misty handle this one. So I'd only get in trouble. So anyway, welcome to the podcast. And like I said, we're just kind of laying back tonight and just talking about whatever. So what's in the news? Anything going on?
There was the big news of gays getting the right to be recognized federally in marriage. That's
the biggest news this week. That's good stuff. Yeah.
That was great here.
Everybody I know is happy about that.
Yeah.
And if anybody I know is not happy about that, I don't think I really want to know them. You know, it's like last couple of weeks we were talking about love and marriage, and and so this is a big vote for both of those things.
Definitely.
So, and everybody I know is just, you know, thrilled about it. It's almost like now that it's happened, it's like, what took everybody so long? What are they all afraid of?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it can't be anything but a boon to the country's morale, as well as, you know, it could be another booming business, you know, all these people getting married and everything. It could start, you know, it could triple the wedding business. And,
yeah.
And when you consider that a lot of, you know, affluent people of the same sex are getting married and they want to have nice weddings, I mean, that's only a boost for the economy. So.
Yeah.
You know, some will probably just run off and do it on the, you know, at the courthouse or, you know, justice of the peace. But I have a few friends out there who are kind of looking at kind of breaking the glass or jumping the broom in particularly spectacular style. So
well, even if you're just going down the courthouse, that still costs some dough.
Yeah.
So you're still contributing to the economy.
That's true. That's true. But so many friends of mine are just, you know, they're like, singing. And I think it's Gay Pride weekend, isn't it, also in San Francisco or something like that?
Be right.
June, I think, is Gay Pride month.
Yeah, I think they cap it all up with a big parade, so you know there's going to be, you know, people celebrating and everything. That's good stuff. And let's see, what else is in the news? Misty and I were talking the other day, like, we should do like a news feature. We should talk about the news and give our skew on the news. And I thought, that's a great idea, but she's not here. So we'll just do our own skew on the news until she catches up with us at some later point.
Do you think the NSA is spying on us?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. you know, they're 12 guys under this couch, you know. They're listening to everything we say. And
there are microphones everywhere, oddly enough.
Yeah. I mean, I think the whole spying thing is ludicrous. It's the people they can spy on are the ones who are just talking about nothing in particular. It's guys on the phone talking to their wives or girlfriends or you know, kids chattering with each other on cell phones and everything. If these guys are looking for domestic terrorists, which is, I think, why the whole thing was enacted, was to clamp down on people meeting in secret or plotting against America, they've got to know how to do that. Lesson one is not get caught by the government. So they're doing it in some other way, you know, and maybe they're sending signals over the phone.
Aren't there old spy moves? Or no, not over the phone.
Maybe they're communicating through the post office. That would be, my God, that would be a first. You know, it's people sending letters back and forward to each other. You know, like, Agent X, meet me at Talleyrand tomorrow night at 9. And then he goes there and then they can talk in private, you know.
But they notice those because the address is always behind the mailbox.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Down the dark alley.
Meantime, tomorrow night at Talleyrand, there'll be a bunch of guys like, oh, we heard on the Paul Dini podcast that Talleyrand is where they are. Well, the 12 guys under his couch said that. What's Obama doing? Is he, like, listening to all the stuff late at night? You know, is he, like, going over, like, does he have his enemies list? He's on his way to being the new Nixon. I mean, that's what got Nixon thrown out, you know, years ago, was he was spying on the Democrats, wasn't he? Yeah, he was.
And himself.
Yeah. And he was taping people and everything. And everything he did that he got in trouble for was, it's now sort of de rigueur for politicians to do that, you know. Mm-hmm. Nixon was vilified. I don't think he was very good. President, I think he was an okay president, actually, so, as far as presidential things, but he kind of a terrible man, and he did some rotten stuff. But still, you know, Obama's out there just like spying on everybody. It's like it's become such a part of I just think of our daily lives. Everything's monitored and checked up on. And I think that what I resent the most about it is not just the invasion of privacy. It's like, if you want to tap into my computer, if you want to, you know, I can't imagine what you're looking for. You want to, do you want to keep tabs on the newest Hulk script I'm writing? Do you want to look at what Jingle Bell might be doing later this Christmas? You know, there, knock yourself out. Go ahead. You know, it's there. You can read it. But where I have a problem with it is, like, it seems to be running hand in hand with, once your name is on a list, then anybody can get it, you know, and they sign you up for things, and then there's identity theft, and then there's, you know, at the very least, you're just harassed nonstop by calls by people who want to sell you crap. So that's where I really draw the line, is like at the invasion of privacy. What's interesting now is, like, privacy to, like, little kids now, like kids like just being born 2 or 3 years old, they're never going to know what privacy is. They'll always be connected, whether it's, you know, I think they're handed a cell phone like at 6 months and told to amuse themselves, or they're just, you know, they just grow up with it. I just think that privacy is going to be a kind of a big issue about 20, 30 years down the road, where little kids now grow up. If they're ever alone, I don't think they'll know what to do with themselves. I mean, they're keeping tabs on us everywhere, but yet, my good friend Roger Slifer, you know, got mowed down in the street in Santa Monica over a year ago, and the police have not been able to find who did it. They have cameras everywhere, but they look for an explanation now, and everybody's been asking for an explanation. The police, you know, when they can be bothered with it, they say, well, the camera wasn't pointed the right way, or we installed them in this way, and over time they switch over this way, or it must have moved, or we couldn't get the angle of the car. And, you know, it was a white Toyota, and for a week they said, we weren't able to find the car. We didn't look for it, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until Flint Dilley, our good friend, really kicked up a row with local news media and TV and in the fan press, saying, you know, Roger Slifer is a big-time comic book creator. He's created some very important characters. He's somebody important. He's not just a lone guy who, you know, without a family, who... You know, not a named celebrity who just happened to be plowed over in the street. If this was a celebrity, you know, if it was somebody well known, the cops would be out looking. But now it was moved to a low priority, because it's like, well, that's not a name I recognize. So, and until, and when they did bring up the fact that he was a well known author and that he was a TV producer and had done all these things, I think their attitude was like, oh, fine. We'll check the cameras, and then they weren't able to find anything, you know, and so it's been over a year of recovery. And this is—he's not—I hate to say it—he's not a lone, alone casualty here. People are plowed over all the time by hit and run drivers, and they're just—you know—they're just never found. That, you know, it's getting to the point to, unless you're a celebrity, you can't really.
Well, I was rear-ended at a stoplight by a guy going like 40.
Wow.
And. After I got out of the car, he just took off.
Did you get his license plate number?
Yeah, we got his license plate number. We found him. Uh-huh. But the cop said because I wasn't injured, they couldn't do anything.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten that.
Even though, isn't that a federal offense to hit and run?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Unless you're injured, then they can't. They won't do it. I was at a parking lot over here at Joy Feast about almost 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I parked. Some woman was parked next to me really tight. Then when I came back, the whole side of my car was dented in. Gee. I got her car, you know, and because she was parked so weird, I just had a feeling, and I marked down her number, mm-hmm. you know, beforehand. I'm thinking, like, this is the only place to park. She's parked at a really weird angle, and I just have a feeling about this. Yeah. So I called the police, and I reported it, and they're saying, well, why'd you mark down the number before she hit you? And it's like, because she was parked so weird, I had a feeling that she was going to back out, or, you know, if there was trouble getting out, you know, removing her car, she might have come in and said, excuse me, can the blue car in the parking lot move? And it's like, no. And, you know, I have her name and I have her number. I gave all the information to the police, and the police were like, what do you want me to do? Contact her.
Yeah.
She didn't return the call. We're sorry. She's not, you know, she's just not picking up on this. So, and her attitude is like, oh, no one got hurt. I'm fine. Well, I got my car dented too. You know, maybe she got her car dented too.
Because she was denting your car with it.
Yeah. So I let the whole thing drop, and actually a friend of mine just pulled the side of the car out. So it's, you know, oh, hey, that looks good. So it looks fine. But still, it's just the basic, you know, courtesy. If you don't, get, if you get away with it, you know, it's like nobody's really hurt, you know, yeah. Nobody saw me or anything like that. And even they've got cameras everywhere. Like say I parked at like a shopping mall, and a guy comes along and just smashes the side of my car and drives away. Mm-hmm. I'll bet even if they have it on tape, even if I'm able to see the people in the car, get the make, model, and license of the car, it'll be like what happened to you. It's like yeah. The cops will say, well, call your insurance. We know who did it, but, you know, they don't, it's up to them to respond, and we can't really do anything. And, you know, we show up after the body is cold, basically. Yeah. And then we can do something. If there's a witness who saw the person kill the other person, and we can catch the other person, there's a good chance that person can stand trial. But until that happens, don't bother us. We, you know, it's, we expect society to run along these lines. And, you know, the people who get hurt the most are the people who adhere to the rules. And it's the jackasses who just, you know, were thoughtless and get away with everything more often than not, unfortunately. So what else is going on? Trayvon Martin. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. I mean, I think there's, it looks like both of them are, I don't know. I just think the whole thing's unfortunate. I think, I mean, I think the Zimmerman guy was probably acting like a punk and, or a big shot. It seems like he was all kind of dirty, hairy, but I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. You know, it just, it seems unfortunate all the way around that, they're doing that. And, you know, the girl was on the stand testifying today, and now it came up that she didn't, you know, she was, oh, I didn't say what I said, but, you know, she didn't seem to have any conception of, you know, what's right, what's wrong, but I, you know, she, again, you know, she was reading a note that she claimed to have written, and then she couldn't read the note because yeah. She doesn't know how to read cursive. So she dictated it to somebody else, and they read it. And it's like, the whole thing is just, it's just mystifying, you know, just, it's unfortunate. All the way around. I don't know what to make out of that. And then what else is in the news? That the football player. He was out murdering people, apparently. The guy on the Patriots?
I pay attention to sports, so even sports murders I don't pay attention to.
Boy, we're doing
to.
A great job of the news here. Some guy on the Patriots killed some other guy. Yeah. And they walked him out with his t-shirt around his arms. You know, it was like, I guess they cuffed him, but his t-shirt was pulled down around his arms or something like that. I don't follow sports either. I just, you know, I follow who's ever winning in San Francisco out of habit. And,
I'm kind of the same way.
And then the Lions, you know, just, you know, if they're winning, great. If they're not, moan over that a little bit. Let's see. So that's really all this. What?
You know not to go to the World Cup.
Oh, yeah. Oh you got to stay away from soccer, man. That's just, that's animal time. I just never got that. It's like that sheer fanaticism of just, I can't even get near that. A few years ago, I was in Manchester and I walked by the stadium as Manchester United was playing, and it sounded like there was like a war going on inside there. And that's soccer, I think, isn't it? Or is that rugby? I don't know. Football.
Football,
soccer.
Soccer, yeah.
Oh, soccer. And so Manchester United was playing, and then it just sounds like war chants. It sounded like, you know, the Picts are back from Scotland and they're, you know, ready to, you know, unleash hell on the British, on all of England again. So,
they're rioting in the streets right now in Brazil.
Is that where the World Cup is taking place?
Yeah, because they spent more money on the World Cup.
Uh-huh.
Like, they spent more money on the stadiums and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And there's so many other problems that they're just rioting in the streets.
Oh, well, I can't imagine what's going to happen 2 years from now when they get the Olympics.
Oof.
Well, the Winter Olympics are coming up because my cousin's in the Winter Olympics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got a cousin in the Olympics.
Nice. What sport?
Skiing, downhill skiing. I think ski jump. His name is Bobby Brown. He was a snowboarder, skier. It's kind of a big deal as far as that goes. We're having a family reunion next week, and I don't think he can come. I think he's off skiing in New Zealand or something. He's somewhere where it's snowing now, prepping for the Olympics. So, apparently he's going to be there in where is it? Outside of Russia somewhere, or somewhere in Russia outside of Moscow or some place coming up. I don't know where it is, but some Eastern European country is hosting the Winter Olympics. But then they've got Brazil coming up hosting the Summer Olympics, I guess that's in like 3 years. That's going to be a nut house.
Yeah. From what I've seen, they had... It looked like the riot pictures or protest pictures looked like Times Square on New Year's Eve.
Wow.
But more.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was insane.
They're asking people not to come to support the government right now.
Yeah, the Winter Olympics are in Russia, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Is this in Rio de Janeiro?
Yeah, from everything I've seen.
What happened?
What happened
to Rio de Janeiro? Now, I've never been there. I've never been any farther south than Tijuana. But, I mean, in this hemisphere. I mean, I've been all over the Australia and everything, but I've never been to, like, interior Mexico, South America, anything like that. I only know what I know about Rio de Janeiro from old movies, you know, because it was kind of like a glamorous destination, and they had nightclubs and the big, fancy scene and everything like that, and it was very glamorous. You know, they may have had, you know, just terrible parts of the city all the way through it, you know, throughout history, and I just didn't know. Oh, Dukes, are you okay? You're contributing. Come here, come here, pop.
I was wondering where that licking was coming from.
Come here, come on up. Right here. Right. I don't know if it was always like that. All I know is from old movies. And I'm seeing like folks in nice suits walking down the street. And the streets have that kind of swirly black and white thing happening on them. And everybody is, you know, dancing with a samba beat. And they're all doing fun stuff. And it looks you know, colorful and happy and clean. And I find now the exact opposite is happening. Now, did the place just go bad, or did everybody turn poor over the last 50 years or so, or did just or did just poor, no. did the Americans do something stupid, or what happened? Then again, I'm dealing with a very skewed filtered through American pop culture of what, you know, South America looks like. All I knew were that there was the Pampas and there was the rainforest, which is getting bulldozed, you know, at 80 miles a minute and all that other stuff. But I always thought that Rio was like a pretty swank place. I saw a movie recently, which, you know, contributes to the probably fallacious images of Rio, about Walt Disney's tour down there in the 40s when he went down there to kind of be a goodwill ambassador to South America. He went all over, you know, he went to Mexico, Brazil, and Uruguay, and every place with his artists, and they were looking for stories to tell and everything. It was kind of a savvy political move because the European market had been cut off with the start of World War II, and Disney was looking for other places to sell his films, and they always, you know, performed well south of the border. So he goes down there on a goodwill tour that the U.S. government puts together. And he's learning about culture and wildlife and the people and everything. And his artists are drawing, you know, little, you know, sketches, which they're going to use as the basis for a couple of movies. So I saw this movie that was filmed at the time, and it was later it was a couple of years ago put into this documentary. And there were some nightclubs down there that were just spectacular. They had these amazing sets that certainly rival or if not surpass anything on Broadway or Hollywood, where they would have these great, you know, bands playing, you know, and all these mirrored surfaces, and one band would raise up on a platform, and another one would come out, and there would be singers and dancers and everything. And maybe that stuff, you know, was part of the nightlife, and maybe everything was just as bad outside, you know, like it is now. But I kind of don't think so. I because they showed what those nightclubs look like today, and they're all rotted away. Like nobody tried to preserve them. They're just sitting as these rusting heaps on the side of the ocean. You know, at one point there was like a big boardwalk area, and it looked beautiful and glamorous and everything. And now it's just, you know, it looks like any sort of stripped down, plundered, you know, slum. And I'm going like, oh, that's too bad. It's too bad none of that endured or mm-hmm. you know, it must have. I don't know what happened. Changing political times or tastes. Certainly that counts for some of it. But it almost seems like society has gotten much more primitive in the last 60 years. Dumbed down and more grotesque. That the idea of putting on a suit and just going out looking nice is not even an option anymore. Very few people do it, you know, or living that life. You know, there's sort of like a new crudity that is just prevalent every place. And maybe, like I said, maybe it's always been there. Maybe now I'm just noticing it more, but I don't know. So long story short, I won't be going to Rio for the Olympics. I didn't go to London for the Olympics and I could have, but I guess if I really kicked up, I could have gone to the London Olympics, which actually, from everything I understand, was a really good show. But everybody I worked with over in London was looking at getting out of town because they all were dreading the crowds and such. I just can't imagine what it's going to be like in Rio. I hope it goes well. Anyway, so I guess that's what's happening in the news these days.
And the student loans doubling their interest rates.
Why'd that happen?
Senate ruled to double interest rates for student loans for a while.
Oh, so they don't want kids going to get educated. Doubling? Yeah. What?
Yeah. I already got high student loans. I'm never going to pay these things off. I'm going to be 60.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, you know, it's like, what? How in God's name did they expect? That was like the big thing for the last 10 years was kids were going to school on huge loans they could never pay off. Mm-hmm. And then there's credit everywhere, which works against them because you're paying off your student loan.
And then recently the job market fell out.
Yeah. So what does a student loan go for these days? Isn't like $40,000 a year to go to college or something like that? Or I didn't make a loan, but I kind of guaranteed a loan to my nephew to go to college. And it was sort of like, by signing this, he got the money from the bank to pay for school. Mm-hmm. And if he did not make good on it, then I was liable to pay for it.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, you know, this is something I'm going to have to check in with him on for the next few years and make sure he's making his loan payments because he graduated last year. And then like a week before graduation, I get this notice, I paid off the loan. It's like,
wow,
you did? Well, thank you. Wow. You know, so it's like, not only am I not liable, he somehow paid off his loan. And then, you know, I think he's a really industrious young man. And I think he got a job, or he had a couple of jobs in college. So he paid off that way, or I don't exactly know exactly how it happened, but
good
he
for did. Him. I wish I had the time to do that and the jobs.
he's been out of school a year, and now he's like working for a major vintner. So one of the major vintners in California is a salesperson and loving his job. So he's working his way up in the wine business. So I think that's wonderful. I don't know. I was lucky. My dad had a bit of money and I was able to go to college and I paid for, it's like he said, look, you know, I'll pay your school bill. You pay for everything else. You want to come home, you pay for it. You want this, you pay for it. Everything else is coming, you know, everything else is you're on the hook for. So I got a job as a bartender and I worked for 3 years as a bartender and that, you know, kind of helped, but I couldn't, but that, you know, we're talking, that was 30 years ago. So it's, things have, as they say, in Young Frankenstein, the rates have gone up. So, boy, that's, I don't know. I think that, why would they crush on students? If anything, they should be making it easier for them to go to school.
Yeah, that's what I think. Like, I heard a while ago that there was plans to alleviate debt after, like, 30 years of payment to just, like, forgive it. Huh. But I haven't heard anything about that.
I don't know. There's something really sick with the country when we just, you know, punish kids for going to school and make it so hard for them to start. And like you said, it's harder and harder to find jobs right out of school, you know. And there aren't firms hiring. And there aren't people looking to staff up. And if they need anybody, it's all temps. And how can you pay off huge loans like that? Especially when we're geared to be just such a credit wacky society. You know, it's like you got out of school, then you're going to want that car, that computer, and that great lifestyle that you see everybody enjoying on TV, and that's all mortgaged and bought on time and everything. It's like, you know, everybody is such a capitalistic society that nobody even really thinks in the long term of you know, how this is going to affect people down the road. Everybody wants the fast payoff. In the meantime, the black rhino went extinct. How about that?
Oh, jeez.
Because now, over in China, and they're saying this is the reason, because China has so much money, they're getting into folk medicine, so they're just paying people up. All the game rangers over in Africa are now actually sort of like game ranger slash hunting guide. You know, it depends. You want to see the rhino, it's X amount of money. You want to shoot the rhino, it's Y amount of money. You know, so it's that sort of thing. So the Western black and white rhino went extinct. There's still black rhinos around, but all the subspecies are vanished throughout Africa. They're killing them as fast as they can do it. Even to the point where they're going out there and they're cutting the horn off. They're tranquilizing the rhinos and cutting the horn off, and the horn eventually grows back. When the poachers find a rhino that's had the horn cut off, they just kill it out of spite. It's like, we're killing this one way or the other. We're killing it and taking the horn. If you take the horn off, it's leaving the thing dead for you to find.
Yeah.
It's a shame. I mean, it's like, why is Obama not doing anything like that? You know, it's like, why, you know, you're president, you got power, why don't you save the rhino? I mean, I know it's not your country, but there must be something you could do.
Yeah, at least make a yeah.
Well, he's too busy. He's too busy hunting. You know, he cleared the way for wolf hunts over here. He took the wolves off the endangered species list and says, open season on wolves. Go out and shoot them. Terrible. Mm. Terrible. I used to be really up on Obama, and now it's like, not so sure about the guy anymore.
It's just like every other politician.
Yeah, just, you know.
They make promises that they can't keep, and, you know.
And then they try and just...
And you just hope they don't screw it up worse than the last guy.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's like, I think in time everybody will say, well, it's okay. He was like a, you know, certainly wasn't a Lincoln or a Roosevelt. He was more like a, you know, a Carter or a Johnson or something like that. Hopefully he didn't screw the country up too much. But sure not going to be anybody who takes us in any sort of bold direction. Now the Bushes are dusting off Jeb. And,
oh, we knew that was going to happen eventually. I'm surprised that it was W originally. I always thought they would bring Jeb in.
And then Rick Perry is making noise again. You know, like he's got 4 years to clean up his, you know, hideous countenance and get back in the running. Perry, I swear to God, at some point we're going to get Perry as a president.
Yeah.
And then it's just gonna, and then we're back to the Stone Age, back to the freaking Stone Age. It's gonna be horrific. At some point, he's young enough and he wants it enough. He's what, 60 maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he can for the next 14-15 years. He's just gonna be circling.
Well, the good news is Twinkies and stuff are coming back, so we can stock up and get ready for that dark age.
Great. We can eat ourselves into oblivion while waiting for, you know, and then we join the black rhino in extinction.
Exactly.
Who else is out there on the horizon that looks kind of interesting? Big Boy over in New Jersey, Chris Christie.
Not familiar with him.
That's his name, isn't it? Christie over in New Jersey? Yeah. Big hefty guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody likes him. He's a Republican, but people sort of like him. And, you know, I think he might have a good shot. He's, if nothing else, he's charismatic. And like I said, folks seem to like him. Beyond that. Oh, and then Hillary, I guess, is going to gear up. Hillary will probably make a run for it.
Yeah, I'm sure she would.
It may come down Clinton versus Bush.
That would be hilarious.
Oh, God. The more things change, the more they stay the same. God.
Yeah.
I think Obama will get through the next couple of years just fine, and then he'll, you know, retire to like some statesman position, like probably run a college or something like that. I don't know. Who knows? Make the dinner circuit. Speak around, stuff like that.
You want speaking tours with Kevin Smith?
Who, Obama? Yeah. Oh, maybe, yeah. Or Neil Gaiman. Neil's right down the street tonight. He's over at the Alex Theater answering questions about his new book. For a while, I thought I'd go and drop in, you know, and see him.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to see him during Comic-Con anyway, you know. And this is like, I don't, you know, when Chip Kidd comes to town, I don't bug him, you know, because he's like doing stuff. He's working, even though, you know, proximity is not, you know, automatically lead to socialization. Because even if they're right there, it's like, oh, I'm working and I can't get away and I don't want to, you know. The night is for, like, people who would never get to see those folks, you know, again. So that's what I feel about Comic-Con, too. It's like, for a day or so, I might just walk the floor and, you know, indulge my inner fanboy, but I was thinking about it today. I'm really working. And I'm going to be there kind of for the fans, at the fans' disposal.
Yeah, you know,
because I do not do any other conventions other than San Diego. And after this one, I don't think I'll do San Diego for a while either.
Wow.
Well, every 15 or 20 years, I just take a year off. And, you know, because the only thing that makes it palatable is, like, if I miss one. And then I come back after a year or two, and then it sort of seems new to me again. And I'm thinking, this year I'm a guest. They're putting me up, kind of paying my way, and all that, that's really nice, and I really appreciate it, and I really, you know, very flattered that, you know, I'm kind of worthy of that. And then and so my time is their time, and so I'm more than happy to, you know, sign autographs, and wherever you want to find me, here, I'll be over here, I'll be here, and signing this, and showing this, and stuff like that. And then I think that's enough until I return with something really big. Every year I've got something coming out that I'm working on, or a book or a TV show or something. But I kind of don't want to do it again until I've got something, you know, like really big coming out. And that'll probably be a year or two down the road. So I'm thinking next year I may take off the entire summer and just either travel or get out of the country, or just sit here and just not go.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that every year, and every year Misty goes, right. Oh, you're gonna be go as soon as you can't stay away from there, and so if I do go, maybe next year I'll just take the train down one day, check it out, and come on back. I'll probably be there all 4 days. You know what? I'll probably be there all week. Actually, not think about it. I'll probably stay till the following Tuesday. And
it sounds like a great idea. I'm here, sitting here listening to you talk about going, yeah, that'd be nice, but there's too many obligations, or just, you know, just feel like you kind of have to get down there and make sure.
Yeah. I just got to go. Just got to go for the day. Just one day. And then, of course, I'll call back up. I'll see you on Sunday. It's Monday, ass! You went down 2 days early. Well. But, I don't know. I've missed it a couple of times and just felt like, you know. When it gets too much of a grind, then I, you know, last for a year off. Other than that, I'm not going to do any more shows again. No. I just don't have any reason to. I am. Well, you know, we discussed about getting a table this year.
Yeah.
And we thought, okay, the con was going to give us a table, and we'd have a place to set up and have things. And then I get thinking, well, maybe I should have a poster done. Maybe Dave Alvarez would do a drawing of Jingle Bell or Rashi or something, and we can sell that. Then it's like, who's going to schlep it over? Who's going to set it up? Mm. Who's going to make change? Who's going to sign the stuff? Who's going to sit there? It's like... it's just not. I'm just not into it. You know, it's one thing when Bruce Timm goes. Bruce is probably working at home nights for the next few weeks, drawing, you know, sketch after sketch of characters. You know, and I know he can sit down and he can do like 12 sketches in an hour, and these are gorgeous. You know, color pencil sketches, beautiful. Batman, Hot Girl, Zatanna, Harley and Ivy. You know, and he makes like a stack of. It's like he's printing money. He's like he's the most successful counterfeiter I ever knew. It's not counterfeiting, he's making fake money. He's making real money. Like for every drawing he makes, he can sell that. A lot of artists
grows
do
off
that.
Trees for him.
Yeah, really, really. And all he has to do is sit there, and I'm so jealous, you know, like he does these great, you know, Catwoman with a whip, you know.
With a whip, yeah.
Catwoman, $50. With a whip, $100, you know. And they're beautiful. Batgirl, you know, Supergirl, all of them. They're just terrific, terrific drawings. And he gets them all done in advance, and he goes down there, and it's just like, I've been to dinner with him, and he's going like, oh, I'll get dinner. And this wad of cash comes out, and it's just like, holy man. Holy moly, it's like, I can't sit there and I can't be in the room writing now, you know, like, fade in, exterior desert, Hulk glands, growls, and stuff like that, and sell that for $50. It's like, here, I've written you a page of Hulk, of Hulk script.
Awesome.
I can't sell that. I can't write, you know, Gotham City, Batman lands on a roof, you know, throws the Joker off the roof, you know. I can write it, I can have it done.
Can you sell copies of old scripts you've written?
No, I get in trouble for that. I would get in trouble for that if I did that. You know, but, because it's like it's Warner Brothers property. I mean, you know, they kind of look the other way with these other things. But even if Bruce was not drawing Warner Brothers characters, it doesn't matter. He could just draw pretty-looking girls.
Mm-hmm.
And he might even make more money, you know, because you've seen his book, you know, like the
Cheesecake one or whatever.
Yeah. It's I mean, he could just do a bunch of girls like that and just name his price and stuff like that. So it's like, but I can't just write stuff and give it away. I guess I might, you know.
You can sell it to aspiring artists.
Yeah.
Because they're always looking for stuff to do.
Well, I guess so.
But then they'd be bugging you for the next however long.
I could write it this way. Midnight, Gotham City, rooftop. Batman swings down with his new sidekick, Blank. And then, Blank. And it's like, I'll write, I've written you into a page of Batman action. I'll sign your name on it, and that way you can fight with Batman. It's like somebody will look at, you know, like I'll hold it up and it's like $50. That's what Bruce is charging for a headshot of Batman. Here, you're writing an actual adventure with Batman.
He's not going to draw you in the Batman.
Yeah, and the guy will look at it and go like, really? This is what you're doing here?
Yeah.
Really? $50 for this?
It's a Mad Lib.
Come on. Yeah, come on. It's cool. It's you. We're fighting with Batman. And then Bruce will look over and goes, I'll draw you fighting Batman. $100, but you know, it'll be you fighting Batman. You can actually see it. Just don't listen to this fool's dribble. Here, come over here. I've got 100 people in front of you, but I'll make time. And that's the thing, is he just goes through them. It's like,
And then he draws some just as he's bored, just to have. So it's like, oh, you want something here? That's one of our already done.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's just, it's amazing. So. And then there are times, like, I'll try and buy one. It'll go, no, I'm not going to sell you one of these. It's like, why? My money's good. It's like, no, we work together. I feel bad charging you for this. Oh, so I can have it for free? No, somebody's going to pay me for that. Get out of here. Just leave. Go away.
He doesn't want you to have one at all.
No, it'll come down to, like, you've got some. And I heard you sold some. And it's like, yeah, well, I had to pay for my wedding band. And so, sorry about that. It's like, get out of here. Get out. Just leave. So it'll be fun. So, my schedule for Comic-Con. Did we talk about that last week, what I was doing
About some of it, I think, You want to just go more in-depth in it?
Yeah, because we're a week closer and I got the okay on a few things. So, I guess Friday, I am late in the day. I think it's 3:45 to 4:45. I'm on Mark Evanier's panel on Pogo. He's doing a panel for the 100th anniversary of Walt Kelly. So we're going to discuss Walt Kelly's work and I would presume it in comics at Disney on the Pogo strip. So it's a celebration of all things Walt Kelly, who was a tremendous guy. So I'm happy to just sit in on the panel, listen to Jeff Smith and R.C. Harvey and Mark talk and soak up some information. So there's that on Friday. And then Saturday, I may be doing a signing with Alan Burnett and Bruce and Eric Radomski at the DC booth. We're working that out. There was some talk of us all, you know, doing a signing together. Then I have a spotlight panel at 2:30 to 3:30 or 2:45 to 3:45, around there. But there's the Spotlight on Me panel. And then there is an autograph session in the sales area up top there. Then after that is the 21st anniversary of Batman the Animated Series that I'm doing with Bruce, Alan, and Eric. So that'll be from 5:45 to 6:45. I'm not sure of the room, but it's a big one. And I don't know if we're going to show anything. Maybe Bruce will bring some new stuff to show.
Just hearing the fans' response after 25 years. Just the cult of Batman that is now what it is.
I know. It's so weird. You know, it's now guys are coming up to me. It's like, I used to run home every day to watch your show, and now I'm showing it to my kid. It's like, oh man, wow, 21 years, it's been that long.
Half the audience is going to be Harley Quinn's.
No!
Because that's where she started.
And the other halves are going to be Doctor Who's, because that panel will probably start after ours. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, Harley Quinn's. Man, it's like, and which ones? There's going to be like...
Every version you can imagine is going to be there.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay. Oh, hey. Son of a bitch. My brother's in town.
Oh.
No, my brother's not a son of a bitch, but yes. He's in Burbank. How'd that happen?
Wow.
Okay, well, I guess he'll get back to me. Oh, here he is. Oh, this is my brother Steve calling in. Hello? Well, she's out to dinner now. I'm actually in the middle of doing a podcast, and so you're on with the podcast, and we can cut this part out if you want.
or else leave it in. It's sort of like good kind of local call. He doesn't care. Okay. So Misty is out to dinner with her magic assistants. They'll be home in a little bit. So I'll just, I haven't eaten yet, so I'll just meet you at 9:30. Yeah, I'm going to go meet my brother. So yeah, I think we'll wrap it up here. Hobart, do you have another joke? You know what, Hobart, you shouldn't work blue. Don't talk about your scrotal pouch. It creeps out Miskity. That's starting to creep out me. I know every thylacine has one, and I know that's where you keep your junk, but I really don't want to hear it. Okay, you do that. All right, fine, thanks. Did we finish all about Comic-Con? Oh, I didn't announce the other thing. Saturday, it's all Batman. It's all Batman reunion all the time. From like 1:30 on, all I'm doing is reviving interest in Batman and the animated series. And also you can, and it's kind of funny because Bruce and Alan still work together on the Batman stuff. Mm-hmm. Eric and I work together on the Spider-Man Hulk stuff. So it's sort of like, you know, now we have to be enemies, but now we're coming together to be friends again.
Will you be sitting at opposite sides of the table? Like the sharks and the.
I don't think so. I don't know. You know, we're all really proud of Batman, and okay. You know, and I'm proud of the new stuff I'm doing, and Hulk's is going to be a lot of fun. Oh, and we're going to show Hulk's, but I don't know when. Because that's going to be Jeff Loeb's thing, and that's going to be the Marvel panel. There's going to be a big TV panel. I don't know what's going on there. I know I'm going to talk about Hulk's in an interview with MTV at some point on Sunday, so if you see me talking to the MTV cameras, come over and heckle me. I'll be walking somewhere around the floor. We're talking about the Hulk, and I believe we're going to show some Hulk. We're going to show a brand, an episode of Hulk in the Ages of Smash. And there was an article about it yesterday. Eliza Dushku, who plays She-Hulk on the show, mm-hmm. linked to it on my Twitter account. And so the PR is starting. The smashing is getting underway. So we will be showing. There will be an episode of Agents of Smash. I just don't know when it's going to be at this point because I don't have that little piece of the puzzle worked out. However, on Sunday at 1:30, I will be signing autographs at the Warner Brothers booth with Spike Brandt and Tony Cervone. And then at 2:45 to 3:45, we're going to show Tom and Jerry's Giant Adventure. This is the new... the Tom and Jerry movie that we all worked on.
Yeah.
And it'll be released on August 6th. So if you're there, you can see it like 2 weeks in advance. And it should be a great show. We're showing it in one of the bigger rooms. I think there are about 1,000 seats. And it's going to be kind of late in the day on Sunday when everybody's traditionally packing up. But stay for this.
Yeah.
You'll really love it. We're going to do autographs before. We're going to introduce the film. And especially for little kids. They're really, they'll love it.
Yeah.
They'll love it. I'm getting worked up talking about it already. God, it's like I'm on Kevin Smith's podcast. I can't stop crying. But I saw it the other... I've seen it like a couple of times now, and it really... It's kind of good.
I'm excited about it. I've been looking forward to it for a long time, and I will be there, so if any of our fans are out there, feel free to say hi to me. But I can't wait to see this.
It's cute. It's fun. I mean, it's, you know, Tom and Jerry. You can't, you know, it's like... They beat each other up, but it's like the animation is really cute, and it really does. It's kind of like something you kind of might have seen when you were a little kid, and
that's great.
And so they still make stuff for little kids. That's not all. It's not all the cell phones and the rap music. Yeah. So on that note, I think Super Ika,
see,
are you all over your crush on Mr. Moore?
Yes, I am on Match.com right now, scouting out some new honeys.
I gotta go stop him. All right, we will talk next week.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes Store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or at Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.